Stay in each moment with your spirit and be guided and directed by His power. We desire that relationship with You. We desire just to follow You. We desire to have You in our lives. And Lord, it's such a blessing just to be able just to talk with You, to meet with other believers, to encourage, to build each other up, and to grow more in love with You and others. And Lord, just praise You. Praise You for Your work in our lives. And Your work in this world. And Lord, I pray that people leave this place encouraged and built up and strengthened, using their gifts and talents to further the kingdom and not be inward, but have this joy in their heart to outwardly proclaim that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. 12:1, 1 Corinthians 12:1. Please turn there. Thank you. All right. And as you get there, Paul is talking about being ignorant. Now, in our terms, being ignorant is kind of an insult, right? He says in 12:1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." So, obviously, in the church in Corinth, there were some people that were not following what the Lord's rules were, and they were being ignorant. Well, ignorant is agneuio in the Greek, and it means simply not to know, from lack of information. Or the other hand, it can mean to ignore. So there's a lack of understanding and knowledge. And so Paul uses these terms, not to be ignorant, in these spiritual gifts of unity in diversity. He also, in other parts of the Bible, he talks about not to be ignorant of the rapture, not to be ignorant of the lessons from the Old Testament, not to be ignorant of God's plans for Israel. So to be ignorant is just not to know. And I think there's people in this world that are basically ignorant. They don't know about Jesus. They don't know about the salvation they can have and the freedom they can have in Christ. And so God in His holy wisdom and His word tells us not to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts given graciously by the Lord to individuals to edify believers in the church body. To edify, to build up. And each member who calls himself a Christian has been given at least one gift or one kind of spiritual gifts, and there's many gifts. But the thing about the spiritual gifts is to be used in an orderly fashion and to bring unity in the church, not diversity. In the church of Corinth, people were going, "My gift is better than your gift, na-na-na-na-boo-boo," right? And they were thinking they were more holy and more spiritual, and they kind of had their nose in the air. "I can speak in tongues and you can't. I give more than you and you can't." So it was chaotic and not orderly. And some were thinking more of themselves rather than others. Because the gifting of God is to be used to further His kingdom, to point others to Jesus, to share Jesus with others. And Paul used this term, don't be ignorant of using the spiritual gifts. 2. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I made known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Spiritual gifts are from God, and their purpose, again, is to build up the body of Christ in the church. It's not to promote yourself or manipulate others to follow you. It's a grace gift graciously given. A special ability given by the Holy Spirit to build up the church. And we're to put on one thing before spiritual gifts as we continue on. This is chapter 12, and chapter 13 is the famous love chapter. And we put on what? Love. Love above anything else and above any other gift. And he's saying here, and 2, you were following, you're trapped in this worship of idols, where they would follow mute idols, dumb. Mute, not dumb, stupid, dumb, mute idols. You know, followed made of idols. They follow this idol. They put their little rabbit's foot or whatever it is up there and follow. And the one side that shows that they were following idols is they would curse Jesus. You hear anyone cursing Jesus lately? Out in the world? Swearing a lot? taking his name in vain. When you follow Jesus with all of your heart, it's your confession. It's not your confession, it's with your heart. You follow the Jesus with all your heart and all your soul, all your might. It's in the heart that comes out of the mouth. It's what is in your heart. Jesus is Lord. And you explain and live your life knowing that Jesus is the Lord. In 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom, and through the Spirit to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of the spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. But one of the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. There's many gifts. But there's diversity in the gifts. Diversity in the gifts, but you notice the Trinity in 4, verses 4, 5, and 6. Diversity in the gifts, but it's the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit giving the gifts, the source of the spiritual gifts. There's different ministries, but it's still the same Lord. We serve the Lord Jesus. And then whatever we do for Jesus of all of our heart, and we serve others. And there's different activities we can be involved in, but it's the same God who rules and is also the source of all power. The Holy Spirit, once you believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, indwells every believer. And every believer has a role to play in God's church. They have a function to do. They have responsibility to be part of the body of Christ. And whether you are here at Calvary Chapel Elizabeth, where you're planted and growing and getting the roots planted down, or whether you're called to a different Bible-believing church, you get involved in the body of Christ and you step up and you use your gifts to serve, to love others, to bring people to Christ, to grow closer together as a body. Because the gifts are not a source of pride or identity, but they are given to help others. Now these gifts, Paul naturally goes on and to speak and tells about these, breaks them apart. There's the word of wisdom. What is the word of wisdom? It's a supernatural power to speak with God's given insight. If you have the word of wisdom, you can usually use to solve problems, to settle arguments. You're the one that can be the peacemaker. You're the one that can give practical advice. You're the one that can be good at defending the faith. An example would be Jesus, of course, in John 8:7. Woman is out, caught in sin of adultery. Men are around, ready to pick up rocks in their hand. Ready to throw stones at this woman because the penalty for adultery was to be stoned to death. And Jesus is kneeling and drawing in the sand. And then he just tells them, let him without sin cast the first stone. And the men took the rocks, put them down, and walked away. Example of the word of wisdom. That word of wisdom came, and then boom, the situation was done and over. And we ask for wisdom to increase. And so we in our ministry, or we in our walk, or we as leaders of our family men, or we in whatever situation we're at, we ask for wisdom to increase and discern what is right in the sight of the Lord. If you're being tempted, ask for wisdom. Lord, do I need to do this? And I hope you have someone else in your life that has a word of wisdom to say, hey, dude, knock that off. What are you doing? That's the word of wisdom. Then we have the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge, the power to communicate information that God has revealed. Whether you have new teaching and new insight. Now, as far as the Bible is concerned, the canon is closed. You know, you're not going to add to this book anymore, right? Not going to say, okay, I chose you to write, that's another canon, another chapter of the book, right? You're not going to do that. But But people who have this gift are usually the ones that are walking so close with God by spending time in His Word. And they are reading His Word, and they're studying His Word, and they're the ones that they can go and they can read this passage, and they go just get stuck on this one passage. They can't understand it, can't understand it, can't understand it, and then all of a sudden, boom, the light goes on. The word of wisdom, they get it. The word of knowledge. And they go, and they get it, and they understand it. Jesus is another example of the word of knowledge. These people who have the word of knowledge can understand whether they're telling the truth, people are telling the truth or not. Jesus in John 4, 17, 18. Again, this woman was out getting water at the well. A different woman. And getting water at the well, and Jesus asks him about their husband. And he says, go call your husband. You said, well, you have no husband. You've had five husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband at all. Can discern and understand whether people are speaking the truth. Usually, if you have the word of knowledge, it's when you're teaching His Word. Well, all of a sudden you get this. Whether you're in third grade, or you're teaching the little ones downstairs, or children's church, or adult Bible study, when you see an aha moment, you go, I get it, I know what God is saying. That is the word of knowledge. And he goes on, he talks about faith. The faith for the one who's given the word of wisdom, the Spirit, the one another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. Every believer has a measure of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's in Hebrews 1. Let's read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. In Hebrews 11. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews. Okay. Hebrews, the great book about faith. It's the race for faith. In Hebrews 11, there's a whole list of the men of faith. And then finally in Hebrews 12, it goes on. And it's a verse we have looking to Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Turn with me. Keep your finger back in Corinthians. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with the endurance of the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The faith we have. And the faith we have in Jesus. To some, he gives the faith. What does faith come by? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And to operate in this realm of faith, it is stepping out step by step, leading by his Spirit, and walking with him each moment, each day, each hour. And it's not the amount of time we pray. Not the amount of time we study the Word. It's not about our holiness. It's all about our Lord Jesus and faith in Him. Back in Corinthians, by the same Spirit to another, gifts of healings. The gift of healing. Power to heal. The power to pray for healing. The power to ask the Lord to heal that person with cancer. To heal the person with heart disease. To heal the person with all sorts of injuries. And it's not like where you see on some evangelists on TV, where they say, put your hand up the TV screen and hold your hands out and we'll heal you. It's not like that. It's the power of many people. It says the gifts of healings, plural. And so it's many people praying for that person who is sick, that person who is ill, that person who has an injury. Not like the faith healer or groups of people who are praying. It's more than that. And if the healing comes from God's will, it is God's sovereign will to choose who He will heal and choose He will not heal. But it's the faith we have in God that He does heal. Then it's the word. Next one is the work of miracles. Biggest miracle, I believe, that happens is people coming to Christ. Isn't that amazing? When you think about your salvation, think about sinful you and sinful me. the things we've done, the messes we've done, the messes we've made, the sins we have done. And it's the great work of Jesus on the cross that when we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's an amazing miracle. And for a believer, it is amazing to watch other people come to know Christ. Isn't that the most exciting thing you've ever seen? Don't ever get complacent. Last week at the O2 Experience, when we were watching the 200 people come up, it's just incredible. You know, every time I see something like that, I get all emotional and I tear up. But it's cool, isn't it? Because you get jazzed. Other people come to know Christ. I'm not the only one that goes, is this thing crazy or what? It is so crazy. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's beautiful to know Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I don't understand why we don't tell others more often. Is it because of the world thinks we're crazy? Who cares? It's amazing. Amazing that people in a miracle that come to know Jesus. And for a believer, it's not just seeing miracle after miracle after miracle. Oh, sure, miracles happen. They still do. Sure they do. But it's not just seeing a miracle after a miracle after a miracle, because next thing you know, you go, oh, I've seen that miracle. That's amazing. Well, what's next, Lord? What are you going to do now? Oh, what's next, Lord? Now think of the people in the Old Testament. That's what they did, right? They grumbled against God after seeing this huge ocean part, and they walked through it on dry land. And they still grumbled against God. For us as believers, the way to grow is not to see more miracles, but to get in His Word and study His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, and you will grow. In Acts 8, 6, and 7, Philip, which is an example in the Bible, how Philip went and he preached the gospel. He taught the people in the city of Samaria all about Jesus. And he worked miracles. Many people had their demons cast out, and many people here were crippled, were healed. And the result of miracles was not, oh, wow, what have you done for me lately? It was what? Great joy in the city. And as believers, great joy in our lives comes by walking closely with God, by studying His Word, by hanging out with other believers, by believing that Jesus Christ works all things out for good. To another working miracles, to another prophecy. Prophecy, it's the words of foretelling, not fortune telling, not like putting the envelope on your head like Johnny Carson. I'm dating myself, I know, right? And I don't know why that came there. Get away. Why is that there? Right? It's the words of encouragement and or exhortation. If you have the gift, it's a word of comfort. It's used to build people up and not tear them down. In Acts 15:32, it says, "Now Judas and Silas, therefore, being prophets, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words." Words building up. Words strengthens, not tearing down. Now, if you exhort someone, you're strengthening them. Some people don't like being exhorted, but, you know, you exhort someone you love. God disciplines those He loves. Now, discerning spirits. Discerning spirits, the power to detect whether what someone is saying is from the Holy Spirit or from their own human wisdom or under the influence of demons. Remember when Peter came up to Jesus? You know, he said, "You got to wash my feet." And he says, "Get behind me, Satan." And then again, Peter in Acts. Turn with me to Acts 16, 16 through 18. In Acts, keep your finger in Corinthians. Back to Acts. Acts 16, 16 through 18. Here's Peter with a discerning spirit, knowing that this girl who was used just for profit, making money over her ability to predict the future. Acts 16, 16 through 18. "Now it happened as he went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. This is the discerning spirit. Back in Corinthians. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Tongues, the ability to speak a foreign language without being taught. Or, you have a prayer language. Tongues is explained more in chapter 14, and we'll talk about that when we get to chapter 14. But tongues, there's always someone to interpret, and it's always orderly, and because God is a God of order. But the main thing is, in 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributed to each one individually as He wills. It's all about unification. There's diversity in the gifts, but they were unified. We're unified by glorifying God in all that we do and all that we are. We're unified because Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and He is our life. And we're all part of one body. 12. For as the body is one, and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many and one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into the Spirit. But in fact, the body is not one, but many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not the hand, I am not the body," is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body," is therefore not the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? All part of one body. Everyone has a role to play. Everyone has a gift to use. Everyone has something that they can do. And we're all unique. It's like an orchestra. Imagine an orchestra. Imagine an orchestra just all of drums. Ever heard a bunch of elementary school children learning how to play the drums without a conductor, without a script? Ever hear that? Ever put your children just in front of a bunch of pots and pans and seen them bang in the kitchen? It's all a bunch of noise. However, when you take and you have a conductor and a leader and you have a different size of drums and they come in different rhythms and beats, it's beautiful. The big bass drum and the little cymbals and can be really good. This is the idea of uniqueness going together and playing. When the conductor has a score, each one can come in the right time. There's beautiful music and there's order. And it's also, he goes on to talking about the human body functioning miraculously together. This is a wonderful, amazing, created machine that God has created in us. Ever had your blood sugar get out of whack? Wow. Ever be dehydrated when you don't get enough water? Yes, some of you are laughing, it's true, right? And really, moms do have eyes in the back of their head. It's true. They can see all. But all believers are members of the body of Christ. And this is the vehicle used to show Christ to others. So the most important part of the body, I think, is what? The heart. The heart. If that heart isn't right, controls the blood pressure going around to the right, getting the brains working, all that kind of things. But also spiritually, if your heart isn't right with Jesus, then it's going to be dead. We're baptized in one Spirit. He has a place us where He pleases Him, where we grow, where we learn and serve for a season. And this here, if you call Calvary Chapel Elizabeth your home, thank you for people stepping up and serving. Thank you for the people showing up yesterday on the church work day where we cleaned and got the needles pulled out. Thank you for your prayers. Without exception, everyone has a job to do. You are needed in the body of Christ. If you're sitting here thinking, oh, I'm no good, I don't have any talents, I don't know my gifts, I don't know what it is, step up, try something, serve, do something. You're all needed here at Calvary, and you're needed here in the body of Christ. We are needed to present Jesus in the best possible way we can. Flawed humans. So I encourage everyone to come and help at Praise in the Park. It's a big outreach event. And there's lots of kids and other churches want to help serve, and we want to help serve. And I said at the beginning, even if you just want to come up just to cook hot dogs or help and sit at the stage or just walking around meeting people, or you're walking around just praying for people to come to know Jesus, or just come and just worship and sing praises and sing loud to the Lord, we need your help, and you can be used by the Lord. In 20, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on which we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. It's that whole part of the body. What he's saying here is there are certain parts of our body that we want to hide. You look in the mirror and you go, why are my ears getting bigger all the time? It's true, isn't it? As you get older, your ears and your nose keep growing. Everything else just keeps going with the effect of gravity. It really does. Okay? But in my opinion, those parts of the body, those people that are doing behind the scenes, those people that are just willingly picking up trash, those people that will clean the toilet without asking, those people will have the choice seats in heaven, not the ones sitting or up front. Those people. God can use all sorts of people. They'll be celebrated. And think about this too. Another example. We're all part of the body. And with your body, if you're throwing that winning pitch and you line up and you throw it down and you strike the guy out and you win, you're not just going, your arm's not just going, yay, yay. Isn't your whole body jumping up and down, your mouth speaking, you're cheering, and all that kind of thing. You're screaming, your heart's beating faster, you're excited. It's all part of the body. We go through life together, whether we like it or not. And what affects one member affects others. And so we celebrate the victories of each other, and we are there, and we're sad, and we're praying, and we comfort those in need. And we forgive others when they mess up, because there's a sense of love and togetherness by being part of the body of Christ. And so you, as Christians in this body, fulfill your role without a sense of pride or jealousy or envy or even self-pity, and be faithful for what he has called you to do. Now you are a body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. Paul is teasing us for chapter 13 about the greatest gift of all, which is love. So spiritual gifts are God-given abilities to have God's glorifying results. And gifts are for the benefit of all, given for the sake of servants. And they give, and they begin with love.
And that's why God gave them. So people can pursue the love of Jesus Christ and the love of others. Father, thank you for bestowing on us spiritual gifts. Lord, help us to step forward and faithfully serve our calling and use them in love to serve others, to show others Jesus Christ, to build up the body, to encourage and to tell others, bringing more into the kingdom. Lord, I pray for those people here that are kind of sitting on the fence, not knowing what to do. Lord, help them to step forward and serve. One another, care for one another, teach one another, and walk by faith. Thank you so much to give us these gifts. If we're squelching them in any way, Father, forgive us. Help us to step forward and be who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.